No, God's story, your story, when His becomes yours. As we have already discussed in previous weeks, God's story is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Who He is, what He's done, what He's doing, what He's going to do. I mean, it's all about Jesus. That is God's story. And we need to make God's story your story. You know, their entire world consisted of just one island. I mean, they measured wealth in seashells. I mean, they never heard an engine, struck a match, experienced a cold day, or been told even about gravity. I mean, they believed the entire world was only what they saw and experienced. Until 1930, when two white men arrived on the island of New Guinea. Michael Leahy and Michael Dwyer, two Australians, they were prospecting for gold. They began to explore the island. Now, the natives were not initially hospitable as these two men introduced them to a world beyond their own little island world. The islanders had never seen skin so white or bodies so clothed. I mean, seeing soap bubbles for the first time as the prospectors bathed in the river. I mean, the natives thought the bubbles were a skin disease. The natives thought that the lanterns that the men had were containers with pieces of the moon in them. And when Michael Dwyer, he took out his dentures, the natives ran screaming for the jungle. I mean, could we also be accused of a similar response? Do we also suffer from tiny islanditis? I mean, do we think the whole of reality is what we see and experience? I mean, how do we respond when a foreigner visits and points out that we live in just a tiny dot of reality? I mean, these simple things were horrifying because they had never seen anything beyond their tiny island. I mean, when Jesus came like an invader, talking about His favorite subject, the kingdom of God, He was revealing to us a foreign land that we knew nothing about. I mean, that's what Jesus did. Jesus is an invader. I mean, He's a foreigner, an alien, an outsider. I mean, He spoke in a language we are not used to and lived by principles that we never known to us and which we find difficult to actually embrace. See, Jesus spoke of a kingdom. And we discover Jesus declaring, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. You know, the kingdom of God was the theme of Jesus' teaching and ministry. I mean, in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the kingdom takes center stage, being mentioned over 60 times. I mean, monarchy, our kingdom, it's hard for us who live in a democracy to appreciate or maybe even align with. See, a monarchy is not medieval. It is biblical. I mean, a king created the universe, commanded a flood, led the Israelites to freedom. Odd foreign kings like Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, the Old Testament prophets, they predicted a coming kingdom led by a new kind of king. The Messiah. I mean, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. See, Jesus Christ is that new lowly king, a Nazarene carpenter. But what on earth is God up to? See, God is up to a kingdom. He's up to a kingdom. I mean, Jesus taught about the kingdom. I mean, Mark chapter 4, verse 3 through 9, where He talks about the sower. I mean, we talked about that a couple months ago. But he's talking about the kingdom. Jesus' kingdom weapons are not armies with swords, but farmer with seeds. I mean, three out of four people would not receive the kingdom. And the kingdom means God, the King, is here within our reach. See, the kingdom of God is accessible. It's accessible. You know, an 8-year-old boy and his 10-year-old brother, they misbehaved and their mother took them to the preacher. The preacher told the mother that he would talk to the boys and explain that God being everywhere so that they need to behave always in God's presence. I mean, he called in the 10-year-old and asked him, "Son, do you know where God is?" I mean, the boy was silent. He just stood still and was silent. So the preacher asked the question again, "Son, do you know where God is?" The boy was silent, and so the preacher asked a third time. The boy jumped up. He ran out of the office. He grabbed his 8-year-old brother, saying, "Wow, are we in trouble? Let's get out of here. You know, God is missing, and they think we did it." See, the great announcement of the kingdom is that God is not missing. God is here, and His kingdom is within our reach. You know, three principles of the kingdom of God are the kingdom of God is a great treasure. It's like a huge, expensive pearl. I mean, Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, I mean, it tells us the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Now again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and he bought it. See, the kingdom of God is a great treasure. Also, the kingdom of God operates with energies that we do not understand or control. I mean, in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, it talks about that growing seed. The growing seed, he says this. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and it grows. Though he does not know how, all by itself the soil produces grain. First the stalk and then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest time has come. You know, the kingdom of God is also worry-free. The anxiety-free realm. I mean, you look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27, even Matthew 6, 33, he tells us, do not worry. We're not to worry about the kingdom. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? But look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, the kingdom of God is worry-free. Some of us have postgraduate degrees in anxiety. I mean, we worry about worrying. But third, Jesus' miracles demonstrate His royal authority and power. You know, in Mark chapter 4 and chapter 5, Jesus speaks to the winds and the waves, and they obey Him in Mark 4:35. And Jesus also, He speaks to the demons, and they fear Him, and they obey. Mark 5, 1 through 11. See, His royal authority. I mean, to display the legitimacy of the kingdom of God, Jesus demonstrates His authority. I mean, when He encounters the demonic at Gerasenes, the demons, they don't negotiate. They don't resist. They don't disagree. They simply ask for reassignment. And Jesus, He introduces us to God, who is King and who is our Father. Abba. You know, do you have a king? Would you really like one? I mean, would you like to have a king who allows you to call Him Father? You know, in the Lord's Prayer, I mean, say the words with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Let's stop there for right now. Did you hear that? In the same sentence, there is Father and Kingdom. I mean, we could have prayed, "Our King, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom coming." But Jesus taught us to pray, our Abba, our Father. You know, if your king is your daddy, everything changes. So you need a king who is your father. I mean, we are not made to live without a king. I mean, really, life stinks when we try. You know, the one thing that makes it difficult for people to be part of the kingdom of God is that the kingdom has room for only one king, and the throne is already occupied. You know, the title, Your Highness, has already been taken. I mean, there's only one crown. The only requirement to making Christ your king is that you acknowledge you're not the king or queen yourself. I mean, do you have a king? I mean, we all do in some form or another. I mean, who do we worship? I mean, look at the magazines at the checkout aisle. I mean, look at the cover of People magazine. I mean, it illustrates how we follow and worship the latest king or queen. I mean, we are wired to find something or someone to worship. I mean, some people read People magazine to keep up with their king or queen. See, we all need a king who is our father. We all want a king. I mean, Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. You know, but in God's kingdom, there's only room for only one king. And we can't be the king or queen. See, God is creating a kingdom, and really, you're invited in it. I mean, soon our king will return. Now, we're in training to live the kingdom life. I mean, we live in kingdom tension. We know reality is much bigger than people know. I mean, we must express the bigger, saving, loving world of the kingdom of God. You see, 3 out of 4 may not believe us, but that other one, they may. I mean, we're in the minority. I mean, people will try to get us to forsake our king. I mean, Jesus told the disciples, hey, people are turning their back and they're leaving. Do you want to leave too? And Peter said, where would we go? You see, to whom will we go? Jesus is the only king to turn to and to stay with. You know, the Old Testament, it gave us many kingdom images. I mean, the king created the world with just one word. He commanded the flood to come, commanded the Israelites to leave, commanded the sea to open. He sent his children into exile and pulled them out of exile. See, King Nebuchadnezzar encountered God, and he even confessed, I bless the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. So, what on earth is God up to? He's creating a kingdom. And the purpose of the miracles is to give us evidence that Jesus is something other than anyone we have ever seen. I mean, worthy to be called king. I mean, he quiets the storms and controls demons to give us an inkling of what life will be like when the king is on this earth. I mean, where he will once and for all silence all storms and banish all demons. See, he provides his kingship now so that we, longing for a king, will turn to him as ours. See, he actually declares all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I mean, kings say things like that. I mean, when Christ comes and establishes his physical kingdom on earth, it's going to be like the Garden of Eden minus the snake. I mean, there will be no temptation and regrets. There will be no death or pain. There will be no question as to who the king is. I mean, no more making a big deal about people. Our only worship will be of God. But yet, we have to break free from the kingdom of me. You know, only 14.3 acres in total landmass, it is a small kingdom unto itself. It is located in 3 separate areas in the United States, part in Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Northern California. You can leave the United States and enter the Republic of Malaysia. It is considered to be a micronation, a nation within our nation. Now, Malaysia, it has its own flag. It has its own signs and its own boundary markers. It even has its own tourist attractions. And Kevin Ball is the president or sovereign over his own little kingdom. See, his space program consists of model rockets. The basic unit of currency is in Malaysia is Valoria. The Valoria is linked in value to the Pillsbury cookie dough. I mean, three Valoria has equal value to one tube of cookie dough. I mean, there's a railroad there, model size. The national sport is broomball. And although this nation is landlocked, he claims a navy that is merely an inflatable boat. And you can visit there anytime you like. But although it sounds fun, don't think you can move there. I mean, he says there's not enough room. Kevin affectionately calls this nation the kingdom of me. Now, don't laugh too quickly, because we may not have gone to the same extremes as Kevin Ball, but we mostly live our lives as if we are the rulers of our own kingdom. I mean, what a surprise it is when we discover that we are living in a kingdom, but it's not ours. And that's the message of Jesus. I mean, he came saying that the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. See, literally, he says the kingdom is at hand. It is that close. I mean, it's all around us. It's within reach. But his kingdom is not a nation with armies and weapons, but as farmers who come with seeds, and the seeds fall on the soil. See, finding his kingdom is like finding a treasure in the field. And his kingdom is worry-free. And best of all, the kingdom has a king who is in control. And Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And remember, kings say things like that. Now, unlike Malaysia, if you want to enter and live in this kingdom, there is room for everybody. Everyone, there is room. And that's not the problem. There is plenty of room in the kingdom for everyone. But you need to know that there is only room enough on the throne of this kingdom for one king. And that is Jesus, Jesus Christ. And that is the story, God's story. The Bible points everything to Jesus. Jesus, he came. And he came to create a kingdom, the kingdom of God. But only did he come to create that kingdom, he came to die for that kingdom, to be the king of that kingdom. And that's God's story. It's always going to be God's story. The thing about it is, we got to make it our story. Is that our story? You know, God's story, your story, do they become the same? That's what you got to decide. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up here. And we're going to sing a song of decision. And really, the biggest decision that we have to make in our lives is, do we want Jesus as our King? Do we want Jesus being Lord of our lives? Because that's what a King is. He lords over us. He controls our lives. And do you need Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you need Him as your King? We're going to sing a song. And as we stand and sing, if you need to make a decision to have Jesus as your King, if you want to come forward as we sing, and we'll make that happen, because the only way to make that happen is accept Him. Accept Him for who He is. Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, King of our lives. So please stand and sing. And if you need to have Him as your Savior, please come as we sing.